Parents of teens have to choose not to subcontract their teens out to other venues, people, or organizations. We are still their parent. We still need to be their parent.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J., stepmom to a teenager already. So, yes, we do have to choose to be all in. Even though they want us all out sometimes of their life, you're there, you want that relationship with that teen, you don't want to damage it, and yet you still have to have boundaries. But like you said yesterday, that doesn't have to be the polar opposites. You can have boundaries and still keep that relationship, right?
Right. The best, No. And the best way to avoid rejection when I desperately want a relationship with you is to act like I'm rejecting you. And the best way, if I act like I don't want a relationship with you, then I don't have to deal with the fact that you might not want a relationship with me.
Okay.
So here, case in point, my mom dies, my dad remarries as I'm finishing my junior year of high school. And I didn't really know whether she married us or married him. And she comes into the house with two little teenage girls that are the same age as my brother and I,
wow,
which was really awkward in our house, which is why I left my senior year of high school. But putting that together, I didn't know what this woman wanted. I didn't even know what to call this woman. Do I call her by her first name? Do I call her mom? Do I call her this? And she didn't know what to do. Let me just say that. And so I remember now looking back, and I'm sitting at the dinner table, and I would wait till she had eye contact with me before I'd say, please pass the potatoes. Because I didn't know how to get her attention if the potatoes in front of her by calling her mom or Lisa or what am I supposed to call you? Yeah. And so it was so awkward. And I remember thinking, you know what? I don't think you want to be my mom, even though you kind of act like you want to be my mom. So I'm going to beat you to the punch. I'm going to reject you before you can be my mom. I'm going to act like I don't want you to be my mom. And I remember kind of not being nice because I don't want to deal with yet another rejection in my life.
Right.
And I don't know that I had this little personal meeting with myself. Okay, Bob, let's choose to reject her. But I think as I look back, I think I was so angry at life that I chose to reject her.
Mm.
When she was cool. I knew she was cool, and I was feeling not cool anymore with the stuff that was going on in my life. And so, wow, there was a lot of pushback on me when I think if she would have overtly come after me, and we've done it now at Sheridan House. We get this at Sheridan House. When we have a child and the child comes and chooses to reject us and chooses to become not part of our family here in one of the homes at Sheridan House, then we go after him. We've all been trained, go after the relationship. And the child who's backing away the most, go after that relationship the most. And that's the child you want to do something with. And that's the child you want to take with you. And that's the child you want to say, hey, I'm going out in the shop. Why don't you come with me? Oh, do I have to? Yes, you do. I need your help. And make it fun and talk to them and do whatever. I think we've taken our lead from the teen, and we can't take our lead from the teen. And I think we've taken our lead as far as relationship and emotions from the teen when the teen is hurting in most situations, minimally in the intact family and dramatically in the blending family or in a foster care family or in this family. And we need to jump out front and we need to decide, you know what, you will be part of this family and I'm going after it.
So what do you do then with that teen that seems like he or she doesn't want that relationship with you or it's even damaged?
Yes.
At that point?
We do the things that we would do if they wanted the relationship. I'm going to Lowe's to get some materials. Come with me. Oh. And you don't go with that.
No, I don't want to go.
Yeah, well, I need you. I need your help. I need you to help me pick something out. Let me give you a for instance. In my brother and I, later in life, both adults, my dad had a home out of the country, and my brother had a home in Raleigh. And my dad's back in, and we meet with him for – I can't remember what the event was. It was a long time ago. And my brother and I, the original family, single-parent family, we meet for dinner. And Stephen, my brother, brings up the great trip to Colorado. The great trip to Colorado took place when I was 12. My mom was alive. My brother would have been 7. And we get in the car in New York, and we drive all the way out to Colorado, to Grandma's Ranch.
Wow.
And Stephen is talking about the great trip to Colorado. And you know, remember we stayed in the hotel. Bobby, you remember that big pool at that hotel on the way out in Kansas, wherever it was? And he remembers everything. And so do I, how much fun this trip was and get to grandma's and first time we ever rode a horse. And my dad is sitting at this dinner 30 years later saying, whoa, stop. Great trip to Colorado. That was the nightmare trip to Colorado. Bobby, you kept saying the whole summer before we get ready to take the trip, I don't want to go. All my friends are here. Don't make me go. And the whole time you complained the whole way, put me on a bus, send me back. And we get out there and you just grumbled. So remember, notice we only did that trip one time. We never took the trip again. It was, I would call it the nightmare trip. Stephen and I, as we look back, remember it as a phenomenal trip. But wow. We expect our 12-year-old to get out of the car when we're unpacking after the great trip to anywhere, to Lowe's or to Colorado, and say, excuse me, Dad, can I talk to you for a minute? I want to thank you for the great trip to Colorado. It widened my geographical horizons. It certainly expanded my social expectations. I want to thank you for this family bonding time we have. No, if your child got out of the car and did that, they need medication.
Yeah.
They're not 12. We do it because we know that we know that we know that we know that it's right. And so, you know, you take a child with you to wherever, to Lowe's, and wow, a tape measure, can you buy me that? No. But I do need your help with this. And they grump on in and you try to pull them in and you try to pull them in and you try to pull them in. And there was the day that I bought some kind of something I knew I didn't need, but it was $4. And that child said, I think we can use this. And they're buying into the system and you buy it anyway. And you go out and you get home and say, you know, Rob thought we could use this. And you figure out how to use it.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're buying them into the relationship. Because you act like you need them and you make them feel apart. And it's the same thing with the game night. You know, did my children love game night, can't wait for it? Well, not particularly until you didn't have a game night. Until all of a sudden I got to go, whoa, where are you going? Where are you going? So I went over to one of the boys' homes years ago. And I started a tradition with this one boy's home for a period of time where there was a set of brand new house parents. And I'm sitting there at dinner every Tuesday night with them. And we play this going around the table game. The first time we did it, it's, hey, everybody starting with A, I'll start with A. You got to name a car, A, B, C. So that means you get E, a name of a car. And people are making up names, you know, and when it gets back around to me after 12 boys and a set of house parents in my letter, I just totally made up a car name and they're challenging and it was hilarious and we're laughing and they're trying not to get into it. And I come back the next and I say city. And I come back the next. I wanted to get to states. And they started saying, can you tell us what it's going to be ahead of time?
Right.
And so I said, okay, states. Well, we had one night where I came and I just walked in for a minute and said, guys, it's Tuesday night. I have a board meeting. I can't make it. Well, we're going to play the game, right? Right? We're going to play the game.
Wow.
And the house parents looked over at me like, wow, because they've never said thanks before. We can't really expect it. It would be nice if our children said thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do say thank you for the game night or in our house Pictionary night or all the things we're doing, when they do say thank you, that's when you need to stop the world. You sit down with them and you say, thank you. Thank you for saying thank you. That blessed me right there. Thank you for that. So I think we do it because we know that when they're 30, they'll say thank you.
It's just hard to get over the sour face that they have on all the time. You go to the store and they're just so moody and cranky, especially the teenager, and it's constant. So it's almost like for some teens, every time you do something, they're just...
That's right.
Not that they're not just grateful. It's even beyond that, that they're just making your life miserable. You think, you know what, just stay home and I'll go to the store myself.
Which
you know?
Is easier to go to the store by yourself. So I've got to decide I'm doing this, not because I'll get an attaboy from them, but because it's the right thing to do. I've got to decide I'll do this because there is that teen that will try to make it so miserable you'll never do it again. So they validate, see? It didn't take much for me to get her not to want to be around me.
Mm.
I've got to decide to do this. Have you ever been around Youth for Christ workers?
They're Youth crazy.
For Christ and Campus Crusade. Whatever Youth for Christ and Campus Crusade that draws those people, they go in, you think they're having the best time on planet Earth. And you go in and you realize, wow, these people are jacked. And then you realize they're not. They're doing it to jack the kids. And they're especially going after that kid in the back who's sullen and he's sitting down there and doesn't want to be. And they slowly win him over.
Mm.
I had to come to the table playing Pictionary like this is the greatest moment of my life. I had to be all in, standing, complaining that how can you not see what that is? And them laughing, and sometimes even not my partner not getting it on purpose.
Right.
And go after it. And I will say I did have the benefit one night. One night my son had a friend spending the night. And we required, and they said, we're going to do this. And I said, yeah, and required them to play. And Dan was playing with us. And Dan got so into it and happened to say to Roby afterwards, I wish my family did this. Mm. And what Roby kind of got, well, everybody doesn't do this.
Yeah.
And when my children went out the door to college, especially Tori, I remember her calling home and saying, I never realized how different and how awesome our family is until I got to college and realized in our quad of eight girls, only three of us, their parents are still married. Yeah. I realized how different it is. Don't do it for instant. You know, we're trying to teach our children not to cave into instant gratification. Don't you do it for instant gratification. Do it because it's long term and we're winning them back and we know it. And we know that we know that we know. So bottom line here, we want to do it because it's right to do. And we want to do it with the focus of getting them to laugh, if ever, and whatever that takes. You know, I think I've told the story about before we had children, we had two foster children. And one of our foster children we had there, we required this child to play Monopoly with us. Rosemary and I used to play Monopoly, and she didn't want to play Monopoly. She didn't want to get into the Monopoly game thing, and we required her to play Monopoly, and she would sit there sullen and not want to play Monopoly. And so I waited till she was looking at me, and she was sitting next to me at this little table, and I started stealing her Monopoly money. She would see me take it. And my thought was, if you don't, I want that money. And she watched and she looked over at Rosemary, and Rosemary wasn't doing anything. And so she took what money she had left, went in the kitchen and got a Tupperware spoon and came back. She was 14 years old, 13, 14. She set her money even down closer underneath the board, closer to the end of the board by me, mm-hmm. waited for me to steal it and swatted my hand with the little spoon. And the rest of this game and 4 weeks of this game, the whole game got to be swatting my hand with the spoon. Right. Fine, she's in. I don't care because that's what I want. Right. And she's laughing and she's giggling and she's maybe learning to laugh for the first time. Mm. We don't know what's going on there. We don't know their stress out there in the real world and all the things they're going to. I want this child to not run my family by, I don't want to do that. Don't make me go on the trip. I want this child to decide that it's safe here to have fun. And I'm going to have fun.
And the ultimate goal is to build that relationship for what? What would you? I mean, you're obviously to keep the family intact so that they're raised. They know that they can be themselves. They're not under pressure. They don't have to be cool in this house. But even the bigger picture with the teens, where are we going with all this?
There are two or three bigger pictures with the teens. One we're going to hone in on tomorrow. But in Ephesians, it says, fathers, don't anger your children. Instead, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the love and instruction of the Lord. There has to be a balance. I am going to instruct them. I don't want other people raising my children. I want to raise my children. I think I bring them to anger when it's all discipline. And there's no love in relationship. I have to have a balance there. And so once I have the balance, we have relationship. And once we have the balance and the boundaries are the boundaries, then I can begin to instruct them in the more significant and deeper things of life. It's very hard to share your faith when we're arguing all the time. Mm. It's very hard to point out biblical principles in life when we're arguing all the time. So I want to have a relationship with that child and have boundaries with that child so we can train up that child in the way he should go.
And if that relationship is damaged, what do you think? I mean, spend time building that relationship again.
It's never
too
late. It's never too late. Good. It's never too late. I was a damaged person when I came to Christ in my early 20s. And I would say, this sounds almost perverse, but I would say I was instructed and somewhat relationally parented by my wife. Marriage was something you do. You got your undergraduate, got your graduate degree, you got married, got a job, got a house, got milk. I mean, you just checked them off. And it was never too late. And she instructed me in relationship by doing relationship and really by forcing relationship. I want to send my children out ready. And part of that is relationship. They will be married, hopefully, and they do need to know how to have a relationship.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. We're talking about teenagers this week. what to do with them, and how to build that relationship with your teenager. If you want to find more resources about parenting, and especially parenting teens, you can find that online at shfm.org. That's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. Again, shfm.org. If you want to share this broadcast, listen to it all over again, or sign up for the corresponding blog that you can get every day in your email box, find that online at parentingtoday.org. That's parentingtoday.org. And we hope you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue to talk about raising teenagers right here on Parenting Today.